All right, guys. Welcome back.
What to do, baby?
Episode 3.
It's been a minute. It's been like 10 days.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're kind of late. Busy schedules, you know?
Well, you know, you got to wait on the Kawhi Leonard signing, let's be real. You know, you want to make an episode and then have to make another one the very next day if Kawhi gets signed, right?
That is true.
We're also doing a morning podcast, believe it or not.
No more midnight. Well, it'll probably happen again.
It'll happen again.
I mean, the ones we did before was like at 1 a.m. I mean, it's considerably morning, but yeah, we're up and early. We got up early for this podcast, so. But we're here.
I got Whataburger before 8 a.m.
I pulled some packs and got heat.
This guy literally got, I don't know who watches this and does 2K, but Josh got 6 opals and...
In 20 packs, something like that.
It's an addiction, man.
Bro, yeah. My name is Josh, and I'm addicted to packs. I'm sorry.
Might want to be careful with how you phrase that. What? Anyway, let's get into the beef of things. You all know why we're here. Let's talk about Marcus Morris.
Oh, my.
Yeah, God. That's why we're here.
Bruh.
I was going to say it, but your dad told me not to keep dropping the F word. But Marcus Morris, he's on my hate list right now.
I just don't understand, man. I don't know why he went. I don't know why he would do that, you know?
I honestly don't care where he went. I'm glad he chased the bag, you know?
Oh, yeah. An extra $4 million. Wow. Wow. What a bag.
It's actually 5.
Oh, my gosh. $5 million.
$5 million that I don't have, so I'd do the same thing, honestly. Christ.
Did you guys know that your mind can't physically imagine, like, I think it's over 10,000 or 100,000 of something. Like, you just can't, like, fathom it. It's beyond our comprehension. Sorry, just a side anecdote. Since we're talking about $5 million and whether or not that's a lot. Especially considering... None of us have $5 million.
I just don't understand why he wants to go to the Knicks. I mean, like, come on, man.
He wants to get a ring.
So he goes to the Knicks? Yeah, good luck with that. Jeez.
Give RJ Barrett 3 years.
Stop it.
I mean, listen,
RJ Barrett's a bust.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait a second.
RJ Barrett's overrated, bro. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all your RJ Barrett lovers out there, but...
And what makes you say that? What? Why is he overrated?
Have you watched the Summer League? Did you watch him at Duke?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, bro. He's so inconsistent. He's just so bad.
I mean, but that's what you expect out of rookies. He's not going to expect to be consistent. I mean,
he just forces the ball too much. He's used to high school.
And he can't go right.
Score all the time.
Literally, he can't go right.
Yeah, he struggles with his jump shot.
Exactly.
I don't know, man. I feel like the NBA is, you know, I feel like some players really have the work ethic. I feel like the work ethic's more important than what you come in with.
Do you think he has the work ethic?
Well, to be honest, I don't know. I don't follow RJ Barrett like that. I'm not going to lie to you and try to tell you I'm some big RJ Barrett fan. I was just interested to get your take on it. You know, that's why we're doing a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll grow one. I think he'll grow one.
If he could shoot, man, if he's willing to put the work in to get a jump shot and to, you know, expand his game, kind of mature as a player, you know, he kind of got some, like, early gear. I mean, it happens with a lot of players. They come into the league, they, you know, need to find their shot, need to find their rhythm, and it takes some people.
He should have just stayed in college for one more year. I'm sorry.
Hell no! What the hell? He's
maybe Cam Reddish. You want to talk about Cam Reddish? I'll give you that one. But RJ Barrett, chase the bag.
I put Cam Reddish above RJ Barrett right now. I don't even care.
I don't even have the stay off the weed ready. But stay off of the weed, man.
Whatever, man. All right.
So they basically picked up Trey Lyles instead of Marcus Morris.
Yeah.
Like a hand me down. Like,
I mean.
Low block center.
I mean, he went to Kentucky, so he's all right in my book.
He's been watched in the league as he has a career so far.
Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles has got to be one of the most irritating players because you always got his ass when you started your 2K My team. Like, oh my God, Trey Lyles.
Oh man.
All right, let's get to the real one. It's really not much else to talk about Marcus Morris.
Yeah.
Freaking punk. But let's talk. Let's talk Kawhi.
Kawhi.
I just want to come out and say that I was wrong, and that's perfectly fine. I can say that on record that I was wrong, but I'm kind of over it. I think my initial reaction of him going to the Clippers was like, oh, okay. Like, I was anticipating that. Not gonna lie, but because I wanted him to go to Los Angeles, and I thought he's gonna go to Los Angeles, and I thought Nasai Ejiri was gonna leave too. For Washington, they're gonna offer him $10 million, and I thought they were gonna fall apart. I already knew Danny Green was gonna leave, so it was just all about where Kawhi was gonna go. I thought Kawhi was gonna go to Los Angeles for the Lakers, but I didn't expect to be a Clipper. But it's a good move for them. Paul George one was the real one that shocked me. I mean,
yeah, I don't think anyone saw that
coming. I definitely
not see the Paul George. I was on the Kawhi train going to LA,
bro. Kawhi really finessing though. If you think about it, like. Like, that was crazy.
He's sneaky, dog. But I'm happy that that was his decision. I really wanted him to either stay with the Raptors or go to the Clippers. Oh, any no. other decision, yeah. I would have been like, man.
His decision, it was good for the league entirely. Like, yeah. Next year to be balanced still. But, like, overall, man, Kawhi, a shady character.
They're going to be fun to watch. I really like, on that team, Montrezl Harrell did. Guys, oh, yeah. Guy's a savage. Guy's an animal.
Louisville product, dog.
Hard worker on the boards. Athletic finisher. I feel like he's going to have – I feel like he had a similar build of, like, that Kenneth Faried, but he's actually going to stay consistent and not just, like
– to have one good season.
I don't understand how you go to the Olympics and get worse. Remember, he went to the Olympics back in, like, 2014 or something.
Something like that.
And he had a really good Olympics.
Yeah, and he came back
to the league and just got even worse.
And I don't know if it was injuries or what. I don't really follow Kenneth Faried. Someone DM me about that. If anyone has a passion for Kenneth Faried.
I think the Kawhi thing was good, too. I think for all three teams, I think even Toronto, even though they kind of need him, but I feel like –
Siakam.
Toronto's like done, dude. I'm sorry.
I mean, they knew what they were getting into. Yeah.
They,
honestly,
they knew it was a 1 year rental.
Yeah, they were fine with one ring.
At the end of the day, you got the ring, right? Like,
yeah.
That was the end product.
Right, like.
Just poor Marc Gasol, man.
You're one for one.
that's how I see it. It's not like, oh, Kawhi left. Now they're going to be terrible next year. It's like, well, they got the ring. Like, that was the whole objective. Was to dump out DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl and get Kawhi Leonard and go for it all. So they did that. So I don't see why they should be upset that he left.
Poor DeMar.
Fam, are you wearing a Rugrats shirt?
Hell yeah.
It's a very hard shirt.
Very hard. That's nice. Respect.
I like that.
Well, yeah. Who's the better team in LA?
Clippers.
Ooh.
It's got to be the Clippers. Look. I don't care that, you know, you got the bigger names with LeBron, AD, and Boogie, but that team is slow as shit. That lineup is super slow. Kawhi Leonard, arguably the best defender in the league. You could say Draymond, I guess. You could say Rudy Gobert, I guess.
Okay.
But Kawhi Leonard is right up there in that top three. He's always got his hand in there. Patrick Beverley, also defensive beast. He's another perimeter defender. And, yeah, I know it doesn't. Patrick Beverley would struggle because they could use that death lineup where LeBron's at point guard, and then you're wasting a defender by putting, like, Beverley on Danny Green. But I personally think they have a better team composition. I think they could work better together. They have an identity already of being a defensively rugged team. I think we're going to see a little Lob City revival with the Clippers. Kawhi and Harrell, high flyers, man.
And PG.
PG as well. I'm missing out on PG this whole time. PG, another top defender. Another, you know, score ball in hand, but he can score without the ball in his hands too. He can slash, he can cut. Doc Rivers did an insane job last season. We already talked about Doc and how I thought he could have honestly taken the coach of the year. So I think there's actually way more upside to the Clippers. I think their fan base is revitalized. And I think now that there's a real battle in LA, I think it's going to be fun to see that the Lakers probably have just a ton of bandwagon fans. So I'm excited for the Clippers to win a few, hopefully, and kind of change that. Also, shout out Elliot. I have a friend. His name is Elliot O'Callaghan, who has been a lifelong Lakers fan. He's a Kobe stan. He's a Kobe fan first, then a Lakers fan, but is no longer a Lakers fan because of the fact that LeBron is on the Lakers. That is how much he hates the Lakers. So, or hate. That's how much he hates LeBron. So,
well, Elliot, I'm sorry, man. I'll take LeBron over Kobe.
As most people would and should. But quick shout out. Brutal. You hate to see it.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Who in the Clippers can shoot outside? Lou Will, Kawhi, and Paul George.
Can shoot.
Can shoot.
Landry Shamet. Guy's an animal, dude. One of the most underrated players in the league.
So one other player.
One other player. I guess I don't really know the Clippers team that well. Teodosic isn't really that good of a shooter. But he's a good facilitator.
But in today's league, like, you have to shoot the ball. Like, they got defenders, I agree, but
yeah, but they don't.
Production's gonna have to come from somewhere. You can't look at George and Kawhi the entire time, because that's the game plan, I'm assuming, for the Clippers, is to look at those two, and
Lou Will.
Right, and Lou Will off the
bench, yeah.
Right. I don't see the issue with that.
No, I'm saying, like, the Lakers decked out in shooters. They dumped all their playmakers and decked out in shooters. Like,
yeah, but we've seen how that can fall apart too. If you rely on LeBron with the Cavaliers to do everything, LeBron and Kyrie, what if someone goes down? Your whole game plan is screwed because you're just relying on him. And then your box plus minus with that player out is so bad because no one knows how to do anything. Players start to get complacent in their role. And, you know, I look at Rodney Hood as a perfect example. Rodney Hood was wasted in Cleveland. All they had him do was spot up, and then the only time he'd ever get chances to, like, create were with less than 5 seconds on the shot clock, and he had to throw up some junk. Rodney Hood is a very good player. He's a good role player. He's crafty. I think he can, you know, be a really good sixth or seventh man off your bench and provide a good offensive spurt. But if you're not giving your players a chance to kind of do more than their role, when LeBron has to eventually sit out, because LeBron can't be playing all these minutes anymore. You know,
nope.
This is going to be LeBron's first dip year, in my opinion. I think we're finally going to see LeBron's stats slightly waver. It's not going to be anything alarming, like, oh, LeBron had a bad season. But I think it's going to slowly start catching up to him, whether it be in his minutes, whether it be the number of games he plays, whether it be his actual physical stats. That's definitely going to start happening soon. It's natural.
I don't see him slowing down. I see, if anything, he turns up.
I think, if anything,
his
points might drop a little bit. I think he honestly could average. I think if LeBron seriously took the point guard role as, you know, like a pass first, you know, point guard, he could probably average like almost 14, 15 assists.
Well, the thing was, Magic was good. Like, he's like Magic. He's a 6'9" Magic Johnson, but with a Karl Malone frame. Like, it's insane.
And a jumper.
Exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. Like Magic. Magic has nice. Magic had nice numbers as a 6'9" point guard, but he couldn't slash the cup and create something for himself. Like, and his jumper.
No, I mean, LeBron's definitely got a bigger.
But that's what I'm saying.
He got a better bag.
That's what I'm saying. Like Giannis's numbers went up when he was the point guard.
Passer, yeah.
When he was the point guard.
Right.
And now you're putting the best player in the game as point guard, alongside with possibly, if they're healthy and the chemistry is right, the two best big men in the league, which I think is Boogie Cousins and AD.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's the same frame as Cleveland, because Cleveland was like, you knew it was Kyrie and LeBron and Caleb with the rebound. Like, you knew Caleb in the scoring, but like, and like, I'm not saying DeMarcus Cousins and AD are gonna have monstrosity years. I think they're gonna split the load, kind of like a Jokic and Nurkic kind of role, but like extremely like overpowered. I think they're
gonna struggle.
I mean
the thing about Boogie though,
dude,
Boogie, like, honestly, like, he wasn't even that bad. And the only thing that messed him up was when he tore his quad. Like, that'll mess anyone up.
Yeah.
But like, he recovered from the Achilles injury. I think he did. Did he lose a step? Yes. But he was still effective. it didn't look that bad until after he tore his quad. And he should not have been playing.
Oh, he was balling. He was balling before the quad. Yeah,
he should not have been playing the finals. Yeah. So, like, that's what everyone remembers. But, like, everyone has to also remember if he's fully healthy.
Like, he's nice.
He might lose. He might not have, his full athleticism anymore. But, like, he's still freaking nice.
I think the main thing is, like, we haven't seen, like, LeBron, like we did last year. So, he's kind of been slept on throughout the entire past 4 or 5 months. And I still think, like, when he's healthy and he's going, like, he's the most unstoppable player I can think of. Like especially, I can't name a point guard outside of that can possibly contend with LeBron right now. I mean, if it's true, if he becomes point guard. But, I mean, and to be honest, my take is, like, I don't even think they start Boogie. I think they might make him come off and sub out AD, kind of keep, like, the machine going. But if they go like all five out, like a LeBron, Green, Kuzma, Davis, and Cousins, I think that's a death lineup. I don't think they'll do that. Knowing Frank Vogel, I don't think they'll do that at all. No,
that wouldn't really fit the play style. Yeah, I think it's tough because it also just comes down to matchups. Like some teams you can get away with different play styles. I mean, for example, you see. The Milwaukee Bucks had gotten away the entire season with relying on Giannis as being the playmaker, and then Chris Middleton was, you know, the number two, the guy that was shooting, right, taking shots off the dribble. And then everyone else kind of followed in pecking order. But you hit the finals and you see the conference finals and you see how they really zeroed in on limiting Giannis's inside penetration, and then those other players weren't able to get very clean looks because you have a secondary defender who's also a lockup defender. With Kyle Lowry's actually a pretty good defender. I don't think people give him enough credit. They always talk about playoff Lowry's crap and all that stuff. And I'm serious. I think he finally grew out of that this season. I think he played really well. I really think without him, he did a really good job facilitating and getting open looks for other players. May have not always scored the ball the best, and he had a few games where he did score really well, but he created opportunities, and he played hard, man. So, shout out Kyle Lowry on the one time.
I think they play way better when he's a scorer. I feel like if he doesn't score, they lose. Like, they really, like...
Yeah, he just needs to chill out. I think sometimes he tries to take too many shots that aren't in his...
Well, that's when it gets in his head.
Right, and that's where I think he finally felt like he was in his... That's what I'm saying. I felt like he kind of let the game come to him more.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, he took his role as I'm looking to score first, but I'm trying to make opportunities instead of like I'm just looking to shoot. You know, I'm just trying to score on this play. I feel like players do that a lot. I think there's a lot of players. Russell Westbrook is a perfect example where they come down the court and they already have made it up in their mind. I'm trying to score this play. I'm trying to dribble past this guy. I'm trying to go right. I'm trying to hit him with this move. And you know, I'm not an NBA player, obviously, but sometimes that's not good.
But like, if you predetermine like what you're going to do, then like,
right. Then
it's pretty bad.
That's a bad habit. Right. Cause then you're going to, if all things don't go well, you just still, you know, shoot it. And that's more or less a turnover. If you take bad shots, that's what I always taught. But
I agree with that.
Point is, I just think, I think it would be interesting to see how different teams are going to try to match up with the Lakers this season with, LeBron
and probably the Clippers too.
Mm-hmm.
I think also worth
mentioning, Clippers have Jeff Green. And I know he's not a great three-point shooter, but Jeff Green is a solid player. Yeah.
I thought it was the Jazz.
Wait, did he get traded to Jazz?
No, he signed with the Jazz. No,
he signed with them.
Oh, shit.
That's who they got. Mo Harkless is a nice pickup for them.
Mo Harkless
I've been
nice.
Saying that in Portland.
Yeah, I like Mo. I thought they saw Jeff
They'll help him with defense, too.
That's a bummer. I like Jeff Green.
So who's running shooting guard? Paul George? Or Kawhi?
PG.
PG.
Okay, just making sure.
I thought PG.
They will. PG off the bench.
Oh, stop it.
That's so dirty.
I mean, but it wouldn't shock me they put Kawhi at two either. Like, I think they're either going to be two or three.
I still feel like PG is a more volume shooter than Kawhi. So, I feel like it makes more sense to have PG at the two.
Yeah.
I don't think Kawhi looks at it as he's trying to score. I think he lets the game come to him. I think Paul George is the one who's like, every time he touches the ball, like he's trying to put
it in the cup. He's a volume scorer, so like he needs to get shots up. Yeah. Kawhi can like create his own offense.
Oh yeah, and, he like, can create something from
himself. And lets it come to himself. But Paul George has to like get involved. I think that's why he struggles sometimes at OKC, because Westbrook wouldn't really involve him. But that's just me.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with having two players that you're not – I classify Paul George and Westbrook as players where you're not sure if they're the best player on your team or not in most situations. Jimmy Butler is another one. You know, like, is this guy, you know, type like a superstar, or is he just below that superstar like mark? Right, like,
who, it,
can
PG?
Can Paul these George. Players be the man on the team, or do they need someone else?
I personally think Paul George can be the man.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
See, that's my point.
No, yeah, because it's very debatable.
I think he's just a star. I think James Harden's just a star.
Wait a second.
You just dropped the Woj bomb on me. No, what?
Wow. I think he's just a star. I feel like without CP, they're not the super team that they used to be. I feel like.
Well, obviously, actually, but did you see, I mean,
look,
did you see what he did without Chris Paul last season? That was my argument for the MVP. So I'm backing up on that. Yeah.
No, I feel like this year when they add Russ, like he's not going to be the man. Like they're going to have to split it in half. Like.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean Russ is
a superstar is not supposed to split it in half. Like they carry the load like every team they go to. Like,
look, I'm with you, but that's why that's going to be it. So we'll talk about this right now. That's why it's going to be a bad move. I mean, it's good because they get rid of CP3's contract. CP3's contract ass. It's so bad.
He's getting older too.
And he's at this point, bro. Like
he's
sorry, fam. You're getting thrown on the retirement boat. Either get a ring with someone and get a
crappy deal. The only thing I will say that it could possibly work is if literally, like, because Westbrook is just, like, he literally goes 150%.
And, like, the thing that Chris Paul couldn't do that Westbrook can do is actually drive and finish, like,
and rebound.
At a more higher rate. Yeah, and rebound. Literally. So, like, I feel like that will work on that aspect. But, like, the only thing I question is, like, especially when it comes down to the crunch, like, are they going to be fine for the ball? Like, what are they going to do? Like, I don't understand. I don't know.
I think Russ is willing to give up the ball to let James finish the game.
And but at the same time, though, like, I see Harden more as, like a scorer. Like, I don't see him as, like, a spot-up shooter. Like, I feel like he has to create. Who? I feel like he plays better off the dribble shooting than he does, like, stand-up shooting.
Who?
Harden.
Harden?
So I think, feel like that's why he needs more ball dominant than Westbrook. But, like, Westbrook is ball dominant, too. And, like, I know it worked with Chris Paul and Harden. They said the same thing with
Chris Paul.
Though. No, that's what I'm saying. I know it worked, but, like, Westbrook's more of a ball hog than Chris Paul, in my opinion. So it's kind of just like.
Russ also has a broken jumper, so.
Exactly. So, like, honestly, if Westbrook just really, like, attacks the rim and, like, kicks out when he should, I think it would work. But, like, we know it's not going to happen. So. Like,
well, and the nice thing about having someone like Clint Capella around, I actually love Steven Adams. I think Steven Adams is.
Yeah.
He's a damn savage. And so I think that the chemistry could work. It's just difficult because Westbrook is one of those people where the way he kind of presents himself makes you think this guy's not really that good of a teammate sometimes. Like, he can be real cold to the media, and that doesn't really always give you the best, like, perception of what a person's like in the locker room. Because I know he doesn't like media, but I'm just really not sure if – he's willing to buy into a championship mentality. I mean, to be a champion, and I don't think people emphasize this enough, we care so much about what players are on teams now, you know.
And then numbers.
And numbers and advanced analytics. We do forget the importance of, you know, building that relationship with your team and being able to trust players with the ball and not even have a second thought about it when you're, you know, passing one more time or, you know, throwing a lob up, whatever it may be, getting more people involved. And I think being able to sacrifice looks is a big thing. And I don't know if Westbrook is going to be willing to do that, to sacrifice, you know, some shots.
I mean, at the same time, more. Too, like, I know, like, I mean, Harden and Westbrook, they both wanted this. It's not like, you know, it's not like they're going into it. It's like, oh, like, we're teaming up again. Like, I don't know how it's going to work. Like, I mean, they low-key push for it. So, I mean,
yeah,
if they're willing to work together, like, I mean, obviously, like, it could work, but, like, just time will tell, I guess.
I just don't want this to turn to like a Melo Rocket situation. I mean, it wouldn't be that bad, obviously.
Speaking of Melo, is he done?
He needs to throw in the bag. I want to see another one of y'all on Twitter saying, someone needs to sign Melo. No one does.
I've been saying
this. The only team that should sign Melo is the Nuggets so he can retire with the Nuggets. Period.
I don't know. I don't know. It's his career. He does what he wants to do.
Have you seen him in Lifetime? No.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
But OKC is stacked on picks. Like that, you know.
Yeah, I really felt like
they had 10.
I really felt like Houston paid a lot for Westbrook.
They only gave up Chris Paul, but like future wise, all their picks are gone.
I mean, well, and we're also starting to see now, like it used to be that late first round picks, for the most part, were just like ass. You know, it's just like, all right, well, yeah. Once you get past about that like 15-20 mark, the chance of you landing someone, you know, worth a damn was pretty much just like a diamond in the rough. But I think we're starting to see that players are coming to the league with a lot more skill set. You know, with how we're advancing with social media and training and, you know, specialized training and stuff like that, I think players really come into the league with a lot more intangibles and with a lot more potential. I mean, perfect example, Keldon Johnson. We got him late first round, and I think he's going to be a stud. I mean, a lot of people have been talking about Simanich, but
I mean,
Keldon Johnson could be a real nice combo guard if he, like...
Derek White, DeJounte.
Right.
Wrap it up, dog.
Granted, we have the best, like, scouting recruits in the NBA, so, in my opinion, at least. So, I think we're a little pampered
by that. I mean, Luka is good, too, though. Like, he just needs to add weight, bro. Like, if he adds weight, he could let it be our future. Just saying.
Yeah, he's smooth, man. I saw him hit someone with a Euro step, a little finger roll action. It was a behind-the-back move into, like, a little Euro step. Oof.
Yeah, he's pretty mobile for a big
one. I like fours that can put the ball on the floor. Honestly, can he just turn to Boris Diaw? I miss Boris Diaw. Boris Diaw was the man.
Man, what a guy.
What else we got? Any other noteworthy signs?
I mean, we already talked about Boogie.
Yeah, we talked about Boogie. Talked about the Westbrook. Yeah, that's all the big ones.
Obviously Kawhi, Marcus Morris. After that, damn.
What's happening with Bradley Beal?
I have no idea. Is Joel healthy, or is he like gonna sit out? I'm so confused.
I don't know. The Wizards are not an entertaining franchise to follow.
Honestly, we make fun of the Knicks, but
free Gilbert Arenas.
Wizards are right there, bro.
The No Chill Gil podcast.
I don't know. I expect this year to be different than last year, but I think initially now when I look at both conferences, I think it's a little more balanced.
Absolutely.
But
in the West, dude, the All-Star game is gonna be a damn joke. Especially without KD. I think your best player in the East is
it's not gonna be East and West. They pick teams.
Okay, that's right, yeah. It's the
They base team captains off West and East.
It's like, I mean, Giannis,
it's gonna be LeBron and Giannis.
Literally. Giannis is gonna be the best player, and then who was the draft to after Giannis? Kyrie.
Well, it's not even that. It's not the most votes in the Eastern Conference.
I know, I'm just saying, like, in general, if you're looking at the Eastern Conference versus the Western Conference, talent.
It'll be a big drop-off.
Anyway, we're going to start wrapping up. We'll hop on the second part, take a quick break, go to the bathroom, make something to eat, click on the next video. I don't know.
True.
We'll be right back. Howdy. Welcome back from the break.
Hey.
Yo. So we're going to switch it up a little bit here. Figured we'd do a little couch talk, All right, that was bad.
Wait. Couch talk. Before we get started on like random ass subjects, does y'all's power rankings for the East and the West change after the Russ move?
Oh, like the Rockets?
Yeah. Are the Rockets not like legit, or they haven't changed?
Are they top four?
They drop? They're definitely top four. I mean, in my eyes, they're still top four.
Yeah, I think they're still a 2 or 3 seed.
They're still a 2 or 3, yeah.
Who's one?
Shit, well, I ain't Golden State.
Is it battle for LA for number one?
The Pelicans.
Zion
Heights. No. Y'all ain't gonna like me for this one.
Don't say Utah.
Utah Jazz.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's a pretty hot, that's a spicy take.
Makes no sense at all. Like legit no sense.
Yeah, well, it's gonna make sense once they're the first seed at the end of the season. Assuming they don't get injured.
Look, they're gonna be a first seed for a week. That's the first two games.
Honestly, I might just put Denver at the first.
Donovan Mitchell pops off this season.
Not gonna lie.
Denver, if MPJ finally decides to play and stops being injury prone, I thought Denver.
He sprained his knee.
MPJ is gonna be not MPJ. The Nuggets are gonna be lower than like the Mavericks, bro. The Mavericks are gonna be
better. Well, I actually had the Nuggets at 2. I had the Nuggets at 2, and Houston at 3.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Nope.
I have Portland at 4. I want to see how it all works out.
Portland at 4.
Yes.
Portland got better.
Without Enes Kanter.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Nurk is coming back.
Yeah, I know. Nurk's way better. I don't like Enes Kanter.
Seems good. He's solid.
Seems like an ass.
A meme, dude.
I don't think they're going to be the same since they added Hassan. I feel like Hassan's going to ruin their chemistry.
Hassan sucks. I'm just trying to get my 2K rating up. His 2K rating.
Well, it went up, but it also goes down.
Well, whatever. He sucks.
Well, no, he started off like a 68, and then when he went off that one time, I think they gave him like an 84.
I'd put Utah at 5. I think they're solid 5.
You're disrespecting the Mike Conley effect.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, what an effect. I'm so fazed by my comment. Wow.
I can't wait till the Jazz go crazy this year.
I can't wait till you're freaking wrong.
I can't wait till we're 20 games in and you realize like they're 2-18. You know,
2-18? That's so disrespectful, man.
First 20 games,
they'll be top four.
Yeah.
And then they'll fall back to 5 like they're supposed to be.
I don't even know why I hop on this podcast.
What do you mean?
And then I throw the Clippers at 6.
Oh! Yep. So what? The Lakers
Clippers
are
that low, dude.
Yep.
Where's LA in this?
Lakers are healthy, they're going to be the number one team. Because they were the number 3 team with Portland, a bunch of playmakers.
How does Portland beat the Clippers? How did they win that?
I still think the Clippers are top 4
team.
Chemistry.
Yes. That goes a long way for a team. And you can't lie about that.
For regular season.
Because look at Boston.
That's fair.
See, because if Boston was in sync, they'd easily be a number one seed.
Well, that's why I kept saying they were so inconsistent. Because they would go they would go like 5-5 and then they would go like around 10 game win streak.
Kyrie's the problem. Kyrie's a locker room issue.
Kyrie's not the problem.
Hey, man. Just saying, everywhere he goes, there seems to be something going on.
What do you mean? They won
Jimmy Butler.
Cleveland, dog. What do you mean?
Just because he won a championship doesn't mean there was backup.
There wasn't a locker room issue. He just didn't want to be under LeBron's shadow.
That's an issue. It
didn't affect him during like games and stuff.
He had no communication with his team for 2 months.
That's chemistry.
That's locker room.
That was in their offseason, though.
During the playoffs. He didn't talk to nobody for 2 months.
I don't remember that at all. I'm being honest.
That's because they were talking about how he was going to leave. But then LeBron left.
No, they were talking about how...
Kyrie got out before LeBron.
Yeah, Kyrie got out
before
LeBron.
That's my point. Because he didn't want to be there anymore. And then LeBron left after.
I think he just like overthought about the idea about being the two-way. But that's not the point. But...
Kyrie thinks he's the number one guy, and he's not.
But my point is, I'd put the Clippers at 6. They're not definitely not an eighth
seed. Did the Spurs make the playoffs?
He already said no.
No?
No. Since they didn't get Morris either. Definitely not.
DeMarco. Okay. Junkyard dog.
We still got better, though, in my opinion.
Rudy Gay re-signed. My guy.
Yeah, for real.
And with okay. all our young they kept talent. The same team except they lost Bertans, and they added Damari Carroll.
And yeah. DeJounte's going to be
playing. Oh, and Trey Lyles. I forgot. Sorry.
Wait, Trey, DeJounte's going to be playing.
DeJounte's going to be playing. Lonnie Walker is going to be playing.
Oh, I know you've seen Lonnie Walker in the summer league. You can't talk shit about that.
Lonnie Walker's straight bucket. He's improved his jump shot. He can find a shot.
Plus, still have Derek White. He's one of the top scorers right now. Is another steal for us. So, I mean.
We were on top. Some of these scores. Yeah, don't sleep on
Kevin. Hop off. Oh,
hop off goodness. What? That's sorry my guy.
Sorry for hyping up my hometown team.
That's all.
God biased, forbid man. I don't like
my I hometown know, right? team. How is me liking Kelvin Johnson biased? If he's actually been doing good. If he was
he doing, hasn't played an NBA he, game
if he,
yet.
If he was doing bad, I can understand why you say that.
Okay, here's another prime example if you do good in the summer league and you're trash in the NBA. Lonzo Ball is a summer league MVP. Goes in his first game, gets dogged out by Beverly.
That's hey, Beverly, dude. Kyrie, what do you want to do?
But Beverly's not even top 5 point guards. He's getting dogged on.
Bro, defensively, Kyrie got dogged on by Jose Calderon. What's your point?
That is true.
Players are going to get
dogged. Kyrie Irving has a ring. He's proven.
Oh my god!
I'm saying before he had a ring, you numbnut.
Look.
Use your head.
Look. Kyrie Irving had nobody on his team
in those first 2 years.
That doesn't mean it's okay to get cooked by
I know, by that's Jose Calderon.
What if, bro, look.
You're just talking in circles here, bro.
Look, Kyrie Irving had nobody.
Oh, my gosh.
Nobody.
He had Deion Waiters, bro.
Get the hell out of here. DeJounte Murray has. DeJounte,
I'm a Syracuse fan.
DeJounte Murray has.
I have to say it,
LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan, like.
I'm sorry. Okay, well, Kawhi had the big three, so is he not shit? Like, I don't understand what you're trying for with that.
What, in what, yeah, like, what, in what year? In 2017?
No, like his first 3 years. Like, he won a ring.
Great, and he was shielded, and he did decently under that wing, yeah. I agree, yeah. But, bro, my point is, like, DeJounte Murray is going to be good because his teammates are better, especially in Kyrie Irving's first 2 years. If we're going to compare him to Kyrie Irving. And if we're comparing to Kyrie,
who's comparing to Kyrie?
I don't know.
Somebody brought up him getting dogged on by Jose Calderon.
That was an example of just getting dogged on, not
playing. Yeah, because
my example was
Patrick Beverly, and you're saying Patrick Beverly's not a top. Like, if you're getting cooked by someone who's not even a top 5 point guard,
yeah. But y'all's point is like he's Kelvin Johnson is hooping in the summer league. Okay, cool, jazz, cool, and all that jazz. It's not until you play your first NBA game you got to show me something. Like, I'm not going to say crap about Zion Williamson until I see him in his first NBA game.
All right, well, fine. Well, then Derek
don't,
White. Derek
then
White
don't come on the podcast.
Okay, I'll go with Derek White.
Derek White's another example. He literally killed in the summer league. And then regular season, he did good.
Kevin Durant killed in the summer league back when he was a Sonic. But yeah. What you're really saying here is that there's no point to summer league when that's just not true.
You're not playing grown men like in the NBA. You're playing dudes that are fighting for a playoff fight for like a roster spot. And then once they make it to the league, like that all that competition
isn't that
goes
all
away.
Part of the process though? Everyone has to go through it.
Yeah.
No other reporter has
facing,
this take.
You're not facing.
So clearly, this
you're
is
not facing
this is not,
superstars in the summer league. That's
right.
My point.
Well, I would hope so.
That's my point.
It's supposed to develop. You're supposed to develop. That's the whole point of it. It's not supposed to be,
and
oh, hey, welcome, get shit in the league.
Then, like, you should realize
that's
like,
what's important.
It should go into the league.
You need to realize what competition you're going up against. Because in college, the talent's even more spread out than it is when you're going to the summer league. Because the people in the summer league made it to the show. Not everyone in college makes it to the show. So you're taking that small step up of like, okay, where am I at amongst my peers? Where am I at amongst peers of the past? You know, how did these players do when they didn't do the summer league? And what do I clearly need to improve on? If I'm struggling with stuff in summer league, that's just more motivation that I need to be getting better,
okay.
Right? This also gives me a chance to show off my skill set. This gives me a chance to up the amount of playing time I can get in the NBA Because at the end of the day, if I'm not playing well in summer league, then God knows I'm not going to play. Right. God knows I'm not going to play in the regular season. So I got to show off my stuff now so I can get minutes. I can get attention from my coaches so I can play in the NBA, so I can learn even more, so I can get shit on by players like Calderon, and then I can get shit on by superstars too.
Exactly.
That's why you do the summer league. They don't just do the summer league for entertainment purposes, bro. I'm talking about,
in retrospect, at the end of the year, y'all are saying, oh, the Spurs are going to be way better than they were last year. They're going to be way better than they were last year.
I didn't even say way better. I'm just saying they improved. Like, you act like they didn't go anywhere.
Right.
Like, they're not leaving, bro.
Where do you put them then?
They're in the playoffs.
But yeah, what's the 8th seed?
I'm saying 8. Yeah, I don't think they're higher than 8. Just because the West is strong, man.
I say 7.
And who's 8?
I don't know.
The Kings.
There you go.
Buddy Hield. I don't know. That's not my take.
I have the Warriors at 7.
I almost forgot they were a team.
There you go. I'll put them at 8th. Fuck it.
I'll put the Warriors at 7.
D'Angelo Russell.
Tough.
So I have some prompts here. I'm just going to switch gears. I don't really think there's anything more to talk about with that subject. Have some prompts here to kind of spark conversation about our personal interests within the NBA. I'm just going to get on into it. Let's start with the clutch. Who is the most clutch player of all time? And who is the most clutch player in the league today?
If you say Derrick Rose, I don't know how I'm going to feel.
Well, I'll say straight up, there ain't no damn Derrick Rose. I'm not even waste my breath computing that. That's not even a question. Yeah, put that man in the starting lineup and then we'll talk. Yeah, I'll wait.
Why put him in the starting lineup when he's the closer? You don't start Mariano Rivera.
Oh.
Oh.
I mean, but you start LeBron James in the final 5 minutes.
D Rose has hit more.
Hey, look.
D Rose has hit
all
more.
All I'm going to say is, game clinching shots in the playoffs. I stand that man, LeBron, and I will say he's the most clutch.
Sorry.
I don't care.
It's LeBron.
It's not.
How's it not LeBron?
It's Larry Bird.
I said Larry Bird.
Larry Bird was clutch, though. I mean,
he was clutch.
I'm saying Larry Bird.
Would you put Larry over Jordan? That's what I'm saying.
Ooh,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if we go, damn, okay,
oh,
and no, I respect it though, because Larry Bird was freaking clutch. But I mean,
it's not like I'm saying Jordan's bad. I'm just saying Bird gives you more options, right? For what? And let me explain this.
Yeah,
especially because of the three-point line, you need someone that can obviously stretch the floor. Because if you look at Larry Bird's frame, he's like 6'10", I think, 6'9", 6'10". But he moved like a small forward. So you have to either put someone that's probably going to be a little undersized on Bird or someone that's too slow to keep up with Bird. So that gives you options to shoot off the dribble from the three-point, come off screens, right, or shoot over. But that also means he has size, so he can score inside too. He can hit turnaround shots. He's pretty crafty at passing. I would give it to Bird. That's just my personal opinion.
My thing
Jordan's
is,
not going to come
my
off
thing
the screen
is why,
a deep
like,
three.
Why not? Like in today's league, why not LeBron?
I personally just haven't seen LeBron hit as many big shots.
Wow.
It's really just what
honestly,
it comes down to. I mean,
so 2018 was not enough. Like, him hitting big shot in Indiana, hitting big shot in Minnesota, hitting.
See, but the other thing is, he shouldn't have had to hit that in Indiana. He should. I don't.
Why shouldn't he have? He's the only best player on the team.
Even
I'm
in Miami,
just saying,
I saw.
I'm surprised they were struggling like that.
Did you see that team?
I mean, true. I just don't think.
Who else he put?
I just shit on the Pacers. I think the Pacers are just hot garbage, man. But when it comes down to LeBron, I actually take KD over LeBron. And it's for a similar reason. KD has a better, and I'll get to this too, because I think KD is the hardest.
I see why he says
it. I think KD is also the hardest
it.
Player yeah. of all time to guard.
I see what you're saying.
Because there's no 7-foot player that can put the ball on the floor.
He's unguardable.
That can shoot
right.
over the top, that can shoot fadeaways,
yeah.
that can shoot deep threes, all off the dribble.
Well, then well, then that's the case. Then Porzingis has got to be right behind him. Then
No, he's just going off what you're saying.
I'm just going off what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean, if that's you want to look at it like a blockhead, like okay, like what do you mean? I'm still Let's talk about the intangibles. Kristaps is not nearly as fast and not nearly as good at dribbling as Kevin Durant. He's pretty
fast. I'm not going to lie. He's pretty fast.
I mean, he is 7'2".
He's 7'2". And okay, he can shoot over everyone.
Dude. You're not wrong. I'm just saying, just because he has similar attributes does not just mean, he's clutch. Also, if you got
on the post, he literally just fade on the
How many game-winning shots have the Knicks even gotten in the past 10 years?
How many minutes has he played in the past fucking 2 years?
I'm pretty sure he's had like 2 game winners in these 2 years.
Whatever, man. Get out of here with the Kristaps. You're just trying to piss me off. That's stupid.
Dude, no, that's going off what you're saying. I'm not even trying to piss you off. We're just trying to debate you, dude.
That's not
like
debate.
That's going off what you're saying. Like, KD can move fast when he rises up. He's the most unguardable player. Like, nobody can match up to KD. Well, no one can match up to
Porzingis. Look, I've seen
Porzingis cannot ball handle like that. No, he can't.
I don't know about that.
Please show me a Porzingis highlight mixtape of his ball handle. I swear they're just going to be.
Yao Ming, great ball handler, too. You see the behind the back.
Y'all see one highlight and turn into this fantasy. You would have got 20 Galaxy Opals on your team.
You see one KD game winner and you're like, oh, he's better than LeBron.
So you think Porzingis doesn't coordinate like that? He can't dribble the ball like that?
No, absolutely not. Wow. He is not going to hit you with a sham guy. He's not going to hit you with in and out behind the back moves. With a sham guy. All right, you're right. He hasn't.
He does the double crossover step up.
Yeah, usually that's his usual size up. Point is, he's much better at ball handling, much better at finishing. Is just a more skilled player. He has more. His back.
We're just dogging you, dude. Don't worry.
I know.
Don't get so mad, baby. What's so wrong? This is some
dumb shit.
It's not really dumb. It's pretty valid, in my opinion.
I don't know. Nothing against LeBron. I mean, maybe I'm disrespecting LeBron.
No, especially with the one like I just said. Like
that floater he had on Toronto.
We see your point, but like I'm just looking at it.
Also, you can make a. I mean. For current players, not all time, you could make an argument maybe for Damian Lillard.
One game winner and that's it.
Two game winners. Huge ones. Two game winners in 5 years.
In playoff moments.
LeBron hit four in one season.
Remind me. What was the other one? I'm sorry. I only remember the
when they beat the Rockets.
Season. Oh, that one was lit. Not gonna lie, I remember that one. But yeah, still, that's only two.
Also,
though.
No, but that's I'm also 2014. I'm talking about like the 12-0. I'm talking about the fourth quarter, like 12-0 runs, where he just starts hitting three after three after three.
Okay, but I mean,
well, if that's the case, then LeBron did that.
But you're right.
LeBron scored 29-30 to get to the finals, bro.
You're right. Yeah.
Go look off it. Come on.
Not LeBron. And not even that. Like I've seen so many game winners in the playoffs by him too.
After the Mavericks series, it's just hard to give it to him, man. How can you
after the Nuggets last two game stint with Portland, I can't give it to Dame because he looked like he couldn't score.
That's true. LeBron couldn't score.
That'll always be a little stain on his career, but you gotta get past it. He's clearly made up for it. He came back from 3-1, bro.
That's true.
Who else has done that? Tell me. In the finals.
Refs, man.
Oh my god.
You think Draymond really deserved to be suspended that game? Come on. Even I hate Draymond Green,
bro. It's not my fault. He can't keep his mouth shut. How's that my fault?
Hey, bro. I'm just saying.
It's his fault.
That changes the.
He should just shut up. But he couldn't shut up.
You're not wrong. That's all. All right. Let's go to a different one. That's good. That's fun.
That was fun.
Who we got? I'm only gonna go to this one because I already have the answer.
Okay.
Best finishers around the rim.
No.
I already have one.
D-Rose!
Bro, I'm putting Kyrie above D-Rose and finishes. Like, I'm sorry.
Kyrie could barely dunk.
Okay, he finishes under the rim.
Prime D-Rose
literally.
Is better than prime Kyrie. Peak D-Rose is better than peak Kyrie.
You're right. One season of D-Rose is better than Kyrie.
Kyrie never won MVP.
I put peak D-Wade over peak D-Rose.
Ooh! Hey, that's not a bad one. I like that one.
That's no doubt. Yeah, D-Wade's a much better finisher.
I miss you, Flash.
Yeah.
Sad face.
I'm sorry.
That's remember when everyone thought his career was over after that season in Chicago, and then he actually came back and balled out with Miami?
Honestly, I remember people saying his career was over back in 09.
That's what feels good.
And I was just like, bro, stop. What? And then he goes to the Olympics, balls out, comes back, and averages the most points that season. I was like, yeah,
he's washed. I'm just glad, by the way, that we didn't bring up Kobe in that last conversation.
Yeah, sorry.
Vegas. Well, to be honest, my all-time was going to be LeBron, then Kobe.
Lonzo.
Yikes.
Not Lonzo.
Even though he was dogging San Antonio when he did come here that one time, he was hitting his best
percentages. Really, it was kind of sad.
He hit 4 threes in the fourth. That was his most clutch game. Sorry, Spurs.
I blame myself. You're going to live with that one for a while. I kept talking shit to James.
You're going to have to live with that one for a while.
Lonzo just shit on us, and I was like,
Lonzo in his rookie year was shitting on y'all.
What are the odds?
And that was with Ginobili and Parker, so I don't want to hear shit saying the big three wasn't there. And Pop was still the coach, yes.
Big, hey, it's one game.
And LeBron was still the Lakers coach, yes. Everyone can have one game.
The big 3 decades in the – in the
Spurs
league.
Fans love to live that. Oh, we didn't have to. If we had the big three, we would destroy today's game. Or
yeah, well,
whatever that dumb.
Everyone likes to live in their hate. Yeah, well,
bro, it's fine, dude. Like we're still okay. Like we're good.
What like, is
if that's the case, and I'm gonna live in the Celtics big three era, and I'm gonna say, you know, bro, that was the best team.
That's
ever
not even the case, though. Honestly, to me, as long as we have Pop, I think we're okay.
We'll get to that
once Pop leaves. I don't know, man.
We'll pass over to best and worst nicknames.
Best name?
I can only think of the best ones, honestly.
Yeah, I don't really know any know bad best name, baby. Shoot.
King James, the chosen one.
King James would be the hardest one there is.
What a guy.
It's the king.
You're kidding me.
Well, I mean,
the Red Mamba?
Stop it. No Red Mamba.
I like White Chocolate too. That was
white
nice.
Chocolate, that's pretty OG.
Yeah. I like White Chocolate.
I think we got to give it up.
Pistol Pete.
One time for the big Aristotle.
Bro, he has so many. Honestly, though, his worst one is Big Cactus. That's weird. That's there you go. There's a bad nickname.
Glenn Big Baby Davis. Part of that.
That's a hard name, bro.
That's dope, but that's also like, oh man.
I always liked KG's Big Ticket. I thought that was hard too.
Yeah Big Ticket's pretty raw.
Was anyone called the Showstopper, or am I tripping?
Not oh, really, no. Jesus, Shuttlesworth was the one, too.
Shuttlesworth was hard, Flash, too. Flash, a good one.
Oh, Ben Gordon had a bad nickname. From the, you remember Ben
Gordon? Yeah.
They called him Air Gordon. I hate my life.
Air Gordon?
Yes. I don't like that at all.
Oh, man.
That's a rip right there.
Air Gordon. I feel like that's what people say when they airball.
Damn. I guess, yeah.
Steve Franchise. That's a good one, man. Hibachi, Agent Zero. Wait, those are some good
ones. Well, you know what? I take that back. I can't say King James is the hardest. I gotta say his airness has to be the hardest one I've ever heard.
That's true, yeah.
His airness is the hardest one. Like, if that was around any shoe or any t-shirt, I'd have to buy it. But I've seen so much King James stuff, I'm like, you know.
That's true.
They're just making money off his
nickname.
Or like
The Flash, too. I always mess with that name.
What about Iceman? That's pretty cold.
That's a hard ass.
Agent Zero was hard too.
Yeah.
Oof. Agent Zero. That was the dude, man.
And LeBron made him retire. Tough.
LeBron made a lot of people retire.
I'm sorry, I had to. It was his own fault. Don't play with guns, kids.
Yikes.
That's literally why, bro.
We'd like to announce our partnership with Dare. Oh, that'd be ironic. Best backcourt of all time.
Damn.
I don't know. Call me cliche, but I'm going to say it's Stephen Clay. It's got to be Stephen Clay.
Be. Two best shooters of all time.
I can't think of like a point guard shooting guard duo besides Stephen Clay.
That's
Westbrook, James Harden.
Okay. Now, can does it have to be backcourt or can it just be like a duo?
I guess fine. Best duo. All
right, best duo.
Oh, stop.
Come on, man. LeBron and Wade? Come on, man.
No, man. LeBron and Wade, the best duo when they were a trio.
Or actually, no, wait. Scottie and Jordan. Hello?
No.
Damn, really?
I'm definitely not arguing. I'm definitely not.
Bro, I don't know, man. Look, I know I'm usually with the new school people, but like, come on, man. Scottie and Jordan. I don't know. They clamped Steph and Clay.
Have you met Dame and CJ?
Okay, let's calm down now.
No, I think best duo all the time is gonna be Shaq and Kobe.
It's gotta be Shaq and Kobe. Without a doubt.
Those two, when they're going, I don't know. I don't know where you start.
The most dominant big man of all time.
I don't know even how you defend that. Because like
you can't.
Like
Shaq, you can't.
One of the top five best shooting guards. I still put Jordan and Scottie over Steph and Clay. I'm sorry.
That's fair. I'll give you that one. I think that's fair. And that's because of their...
I lost the brain cell, though. I forgot about Shaq and Kobe.
Only because Steph Curry's lacking on the defense. Because, I mean, Jordan and Scottie Pippen are both Defensive Player of the Year
candidates. Jordan's clamping up Steph.
Right. I mean,
Scottie's clamping up
players. Jordan's literally won, like, two Defensive Player of the Years and MVPs in the same season. Was always making All-NBA defense.
Plus, he's 6'6".
Same with Scottie P. And Pippen, the first year Jordan left, almost won MVP.
They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right.
They don't need Jordan.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Clearly they
did.
That was
disrespectful.
Who's the best trash talker?
KG.
I'm going to go with Gary Payton.
I'm going to have to say Larry Bird.
I mean, that's not a bad thing either.
How many white boys are willing to talk like that? I mean,
I don't know. I just see Kevin Garnett. I'm just like, God, that man was foul.
Yeah, no, KG is probably like much crazier than we realize.
Also, another one is Rasheed Wallace.
Sheed?
Yeah, he talked a lot of shit.
Yeah, I'd go with Sheed at two for me.
Jordan, honestly, is not a bad pick either.
Well, he literally told Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah, he literally ended
Shoot
Muggsy
it, you midget. That's so messed up, bro.
Verbatim.
He wasn't the same after that,
Shoot
man.
It, midget. I've never
hurts my heart. I'm like, damn,
oh my
bro.
God, man.
Yeah, Jordan was an asshole, bro.
What about the best front court?
Tim Duncan,
David Robinson.
Wow.
Or Hakeem and Ralph Sampson.
Imagine if they stayed healthy.
If that was healthy, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, I was. They're my top three for sure.
I think it has to be one of those two. Cowens and Bill Walton, when Bill Walton was healthy.
Yeah.
Back in the '70s. AD and Boogie.
I mean, if they're healthy.
Yeah, I don't really know any other like crazy dominant big.
I feel like we're forgetting one, and I'm gonna feel stupid if I remember.
I don't know. I feel like the Twin Tower combo isn't too utilized.
Yeah, because if you know a really good front court, it's gotta be like before the 2000s.
Right,
it's gotta be like those are probably like the hardest ones like is back then.
Yeah, because a lot of them like running double centers too.
True.
Back then. But they're just calling power.
Well, then what's the best trio then?
Come on, man. I mean I'm gonna be totally biased here. I'm sorry.
Jordan, Rodman.
Stop it. Tony Parker, Monta Ginobili, and Tim Duncan, bro.
I'm got to go with Rodman, Jordan, and Pippen.
Sorry, man. I'm keeping it real with the big
Steph thing, Clay, dude. Draymond.
Oh no. My god.
Worthy Johnson, Abdul Jabbar.
LeBron, Wade, and Bosh.
Kobe, Shaq, and Rick Fox.
I say Derek Fisher before Rick Fox.
That's the point.
Pierce, Allen, Garnett. Hey, to be fair, they teamed up the first year. They won a chip. But after that.
Patrick McCaw. That's all I got.
Whoever else is
working. Any other scrubs want to link up. Kwame Brown. All right, man. That's all we got time for in this episode, y'all. Thanks for tuning in, per usual. We love y'all. We out.
Peace.